Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, good to see you.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Okay, very good. You know, we both looked at an article that talked about a global crash coming, and they even used the word just around the corner, and we have our title is Takeoff on that, because I want to let you know that I have some very, very inside information, and this is top secret. I peeked around the corner, and guess what I see? I see a crash coming. I think it's already there. It's on our doorstep. And I think people are waking up, and I think that's the gist of this article. It was on Zero Hedge, is tipping us off that the activities of the Fed, they're back into QE. People are being frightened, and there's tremendous monetary inflation going on. So there are things happening that indicate that not only a few of us who talked about this for years and so tried to sound out a warning, you know, before the dot-com bubble burst and before the housing bubble burst, but there's a lot more joining. But there's still a lot of people who are technical people. They're technicians, and they look at what's happening, and they look at tradition. They say, well, as long as rates go down, the stocks go up, and they've made a lot of money doing this. But they have to realize that what they have to do to keep that going is inflate the currency, print more money. And, you know, something that can't go on forever doesn't, you know. And I think this is what we see, you know, when we peek around the corner, that it has started. There's ramifications. And even the great statistics that we get now on economy, when you look at real growth, is not there. Is there real growth in real wages? It's not quite there. Is it helping the middle class grow? No, the middle class is shrinking. So the problems are there, and there's deception occurs, and I guess it wouldn't be very good for the politicians to point out the truth, because it has ramifications, and that is understandable. They're not likely to do that, especially if things are going to be negative. But, you know, when I campaign, I always try to point out the negatives, but I always wanted to end with, it doesn't have to be that way. And Chris, that's what I want to talk about today. We think there's a crash coming. We think we're in big trouble. We want to point that out, warn the people. But also, that if we understand economic policy, especially monetary policy and spending policies, it need not be a total disaster. But right now, there's a lot of handwriting on the wall that spells disaster and a further attack on our liberties.
Right, Dr. Paul. And I know you're going to bring a chart, and it's going to actually focus on the actions of central banks. And as we all know, actions speak louder than words, especially in politics. You know, one of my great teachers, Lou Rockwell, you know, he would say, when a politician is speaking, always assume that he's lying, and you'll rarely be disappointed. And that's because lies are the essence of power. Power is built on lies. And all you have to do is just take a small snapshot of modern times. Look at Democrats. They are lying to remove Trump from power with all the impeachment stuff. But on the other side, Trump lies to stay in power. He says that our economy is the greatest ever and it's the envy of the world. It's just not true. And the Fed goes along with it. It's all roses and sunshine with the economy, but their actions, and that's what we're focusing on today, indicate panic. And that's what we have to go by, their actions, not their words.
Yes. And if we can have that chart, Sir Khan, I think I could point out a little bit of what's happening, because I believe what happened about 2.5 months ago was a very significant event. And that was when the Fed was caught flat-footed, and all of a sudden they woke up one morning and, my gosh, overnight rates are at 10%. There's a panic out there. Boy, get the printing presses running. Get the computers running. And looking at this chart, I think it's very informative. Monthly change in the Fed balance sheet. And so here it is. They were trying to get rid of the excesses, and that was always controversial. And Trump, you know, politically took a perfect position. It's not good. It could cause problems. And a year ago, the stock market was in trouble. And so they kept shrinking the balance sheet, and lo and behold, something hit. And you can see the orange line at the end there, how it shoots, skyrocketing up in one day. Of course, they've been able to get the rates down again. Guess how? They did it by, you know, just inflating like crazy. They thought to themselves that what we should do is maybe we have to have QE. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. but we can't call it QE. That means that we're really in trouble and we're admitting it. So they have it. They're doing as much QEing that they did in the early part of the bailouts in 08 and 09, but it's still not supposed to be QE. But they're massively, you know, inflating the currency in order to keep the rates down, everybody happy, and Wall Street doesn't sell their stocks. There's a tremendous amount of support for the stock market. But since that announcement, when they panicked with a 10% overnight rate, they've pumped in $300 billion, $60 billion a month, and they're going to continue at that rate. They're back up now over $4 trillion on the balance sheet, and by approximately June, if we just keep going at this rate, but I suspect it could have these jumps and go up much faster, we'll be back where it was at its peak, trying to get through the last bubble. But we never solved the problem of the last bubble. We just papered over with it and convinced as long as the stocks are going up, everybody's happy. They totally ignored the fact that there's a lot of people in Main Street America and the middle class who are having trouble making it under these conditions. But the statistics they have, which reflects monetary inflation, allows people to think, well, maybe things are going to be okay. But I think that the chart we just showed and the fact that they're inflating like crazy, that this is short-lived, and I think that's the reason we're seeing some things happening. And Chris, let me just mention a few things that I've noticed, that many countries are repatriating gold, which means they don't have full trust in the United States. You know, they want their gold closer to home, which I always was amazed that they didn't have the gold closer to home, because I think if an individual's trying to protect oneself, they ought to have their gold close to their home, not stored someplace else where nobody can, where you can't get to it. There's been the repatriation, but there's been the outright purchase of gold by many central banks. And that is also important because they're compensating. If a country is inflating, but they're buying gold and this sort of thing, it's not going to harm them quite as much because they have a real asset indirectly related to their currency. And in the midst of all this, there's been articles talking about, and you don't need many articles because there's a sense that nations are breaking up. There's more secessionist movements. There's more conflict, and especially with the consequence of the Middle Eastern war with the open borders and the movement of individuals and going into these welfare states and for free benefits. There's a lot of chaos, and a lot of people are sick and tired of it. So there's almost like an epidemic of secessionist movements. Yeah, early, late, mixed bag. But the people who have done some studies of this indicate that there are Americans who actually feel this way, which is very dangerous in many ways because it can lead to domestic crises. And I think that's is typical. When you destroy a currency, you destroy, you know, the stability of the middle class, and you impoverish the middle class, and then everybody jumps on the bandwagon and they blame good stuff, too much freedom, and not enough government spending. And we hear that all the time. So I think that the economic and social consequences of what we're talking about and why we've talked about this, very, very serious. And we have a long way to go to solve these problems. But for me, the solution comes from an understanding. It's a philosophic problem, an understanding about why liberty is important and why sound money is crucial.
Right, Dr. Paul, and you alluded back to 08, they fixed nothing. But that was a big taste for them, what they went through. You know, if you think back to 08, in just a matter of weeks and months, these huge, colossal, gigantic international firms disappeared just out of, you know, they were gone. You know, that's something that they're not used to, power. And today, amazingly enough, we're orders of magnitudes even worse than what they did in 08. And they're really trapped because they can't raise interest rates. Look what happened when they just raised to a measly 2%. Everything started falling apart and they had to reverse course. Now they're heading back down to zero. So the whole global monetary system has no foundation, nothing to hold it up. It's just a big pile of sand. They have to know it. They're going to do anything they can to save it. and it's starting to appear in their actions.
Right. And the crucial thing on what will hold things together for a while or everything will fall apart is the dependency and the confidence in the dollar as being the reserve currency of the world. And I think it's destined to fail as a reserve currency of the world. And they're doing various things. And one thing that I've been interested in, because it's this whole movement to crypto is interesting, because one of the reasons they go to crypto is because they know this system is failing. But there's still questions about how authentic crypto is as a currency. But it's interesting, China, the communists have something that I've talked about and said, well, if crypto technology is so great, why don't we combine that technology with gold? And that's what China is doing. But if it's a true connection, it's true that that could substitute, for some of the problems that we have with the loss of the dollar. The thing that the Fed has been putting up with, and they've been in business for over 100 years, and they don't know what they're doing really, but it was incremental. The first day they were in office, they started inflating, but they didn't get rid of the gold standard. It took them a while to do that, up until 32, and of course 1971 to gradually abandon the gold standard totally and completely. But they took them a while for them to change their tune, especially during the Depression. Several of the Federal Reserve Board chairmen did their specialty investigations in their scholarly adventures and said, well, the Depression was only there because they didn't print enough money. And I think even Greenspan finally, accepted that, although he was a hard money man. So they said, we know how to keep out of that. And Bernanke was the worst on this. And that's when they really, really turned on the spigots, because don't let the money supply shrink. And, there's two points I want to make. One is, when there's overinflation of the money supply, the market demands deflation. They want to correct things, get rid of bad investments, and let the dollar drop in true value and liquidate the debt. But that's not politically popular. So, what they learned in the Depression is we don't have to allow the value of the dollar to drop. What we can do, though, is we will just keep printing the money, and that's the policies that they have been following. So they can stop monetary deflation. They can stop the shrinkage of money, but that doesn't solve the problem. What the problem is that they can't control, because the markets control it, and that is the deflationary value of the currency. That's a big difference, and that's what we're having now, is the deflation of the value of the currency, and it's being made very confusing for financial people by these negative interest rates. Even people who've been on Wall Street for a long time who were not gold people are saying, hey, this has never been done before, and they're sort of wringing in their hands. And once again, I think people are waking up. There's a crisis over there. It's around the corner, and I don't want to tell you what I saw because it wasn't good.
All right, Dr. Paul, I'll finish by reiterating, bad ideas can stick around. They can run on fumes for a while. I mean, you could just think of the Soviet Union. They were finished long before the Berlin Wall fell, I would say decades before. But they can stick around for a while and eke out until you just can't eke it out anymore. That's where we're at with central banking, fiat money. It exists, it's in our world right now, but it's on its last leg. And at that point, it's crucial for us to forget about what happened, that what happened happened, but now move forward with what needs to happen again. And it's not really complicated. Just think about what Dr. Paul just said about depreciation. Just if you just know one thing, that no one should be able to counterfeit or create money out of thin air, then just that little bit of knowledge makes all the difference in the world. No one should be able to just print money out of thin air. You get what we have today. It's a bad road to go down. So and other nations, Dr. Paul alluded to this too, they're going for their gold. China, Russia, and Poland, and Turkey, they don't even want the United States or Britain to even hold on to their gold anymore. That's how little they trust it. So going forward, it's important to go towards sound money and free markets, liberty, voluntary interactions, and, you know, we could put these last 100 years behind us.
Very good, Chris. And I mentioned just a little while ago about the value of the money, the value of the dollar, the purchasing power of the money is the issue, not whether there's a shortage, because when you have inflation, they always say there's just not enough money. And that's exactly what they're doing now. There wasn't enough money on that one morning a couple months ago because they needed more money to buy bad notes. And so they had to print more money. But that's just making the problem that much worse. And over the centuries, 6,000 years, gold has been known to measure value. And there's been the comparison that it's very, very consistent over long terms that the purchasing power of the dollar of gold is so much more stable and reasonable, and expectations can be calculated compared to what's happening now. But I want to close with a quick little story about making this point about the importance of gold. Today we heard the news that Volcker passed away. I think he was 92 years old, and I was in the first tour of my responsibilities in the Congress in 1979, 1980, and he came in the midst of that huge inflation, price inflation of 1979. And I found him a very likable person, and he would converse. And I remember very clearly one morning he had invited me to breakfast, and it was a private breakfast. And I went to the breakfast, and it was to be talking about monetary policy, but he was very congenial, and I had a liking for him, although he was not also an economist, but he wasn't hostile to gold. He would at least talk to me, this sort of thing. But when I went in, I had a staff person with me, and the staff person for Volcker was there, and that was going to be the whole breakfast, and then in walked Volcker. And he's always been very congenial. Good morning, hello, hi. But on this particular morning, which was in 79, he came in. He didn't come over. I thought, he never even said hello yet, you know. So I thought, what was going on? He immediately went to his staff person. He says, what's the price of gold? Of course, gold was about $800, $700 or $800, which means in his mind, he knew that the problem, the value of what was going on in the dollar was being measured by gold, and the gold price was key to what he was thinking about. So I often thought about that he wasn't a gold standard person, but he had respect for it, and I liked it because he would at least have a discussion. That sort of faded after the years went on. They weren't as interested in giving us a fair conversation. But gold will remain a measurement of value, no matter what. The measurement of value today worldwide is the dollar. It's fiat, it's fake, and it won't work, hasn't been working, and we're seeing the end consequences of what happens when you try to build a worldwide economy on a fluctuating value of the dollar. And that's been fluctuating. It's out of control right now. The real fluctuating started. The total abandonment of the gold standard was in 1971, and now we see a return interest in gold and trying to realize exactly where we are. So if they want to, repair this, which they will, they'll eventually repair it. And there are some people already preparing for it. That's why they're repatriating their gold and they're buying gold and this sort of thing, because they know that is the ultimate money and it will prove to be a participant in the rebuilding of a monetary system that will once again provide a lot more stability in the international financial markets. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Please come back soon.